Blog Talk Radio. Hello, hello, and a very good morning to everybody. This is Erica Sandberg, host of The Amazing Show, and I'm going to say it's amazing because the more I think about it, the more exciting I think it really is, this adventures with money concept. Everybody wants to live the best life they possibly can have, but how do you do it when you don't earn a tremendous amount, or maybe you've got a lot of debt? Or maybe you've just got some financial issues that are going on and it's making it seem like you just can't get ahead. So this is the opposite of all that. Get excited. Really learn to turn things around and become the optimist that is deep within you, because it has to be. And in order to live life that way, I think sometimes you have to have this spirit of going at life on your own, with your own passion. And sometimes that has to do with making money on your own. And I love the idea of people going out and starting their own businesses. And if you've got kids, you may want to give them that passion as well. So, and why slog away all the time under somebody else's rule? Hey, start your own business. And that's why I'm very excited to have today's guest on. Her name is Margo Maycall Biznow, and she is the author of a book called Raising an Entrepreneur, 10 Rules for Nurturing Risk Takers, Problem Solvers, and Change Makers. So it is so right up my alley. Now, this is a really fascinating book. It's based on her interviews with 60 successful people who did start their own businesses and their mothers. Now, Biznow has discovered the secrets behind the upbringing of today's young stars in business, nonprofits, and the arts. So they're going to include some pretty familiar names. Those are the founders of Tom's Shoes, Under Armour, Geek Squad, Method Products, WordPress, 23andMe, Kiva, and the list goes on and on and on. So it's really exciting. You know, what do all these people have in common? We're going to find out. So on that note, welcome, Margo.
Thank you. I'm so excited to talk to you.
I'm excited to have you here because, as I say, this is something that really I think is so incredibly important, which is to raise kids with this idea that they may not start the next Fortune 500 business. They may not make $1 million or $1 billion, but what they can do is run with a great idea and make it into something profitable. So on that note, why don't you tell us how you came up with the idea for this book? Because I think it's really motivating.
I would love to tell you that, but I just want to say first, and you were mentioning some of the companies that where I talked to the entrepreneurs or their moms, but it's kind of what you're just saying. It was hugely important to me not just to have the guy with the, you know, $100 million company, because like you're saying, you can start anything, and you can, if it's something you love and it's your passion, you're going to be happy. And whether you have 5 employees or 5,000 employees, it almost doesn't matter if it's something that gives you joy. And I also, it wasn't just people starting for-profit businesses. It's people starting nonprofits. It's artists. It's activists. It's anyone who creates a project out of a passion, anyone who finds something they love and figures out a way to make a living at it. And I just think it's a wonderful thing to do.
Well, it is, but where do moms come into this equation? Like, why did you even start it and focusing some of your attention on the people who raise these people?
So my son, Elliot, my older son, started an organization called Summit Series, which is conferences of young entrepreneurs. I'm actually just flew into Miami because he's got 3,500 young entrepreneurs leaving for Summit at Sea on Wednesday on a boat. And it's anything from young activists and artists and nonprofit founders and all the way on up to Eric Schmidt at Google. So it's going to be fascinating. So he did this, started this 8 years ago, and I had a chance to meet all these young entrepreneurs. And I had no interest in writing a book. I was just curious how they were raised and how they ended up the way they did, so fearless. And so I'd ask them, and every single one of them said to me, I had a mom who believed in me. Mm. I had a mom who told me that I could do anything I put my mind to. And I was so struck by this. So that's where I decided to dig deeper.
Well, I think that's really interesting and very telling. But what is going to come to mind, I think, for everybody, is why moms and not dads?
Yeah, so I say this in the book. Dads are really important, and everyone who has a dad is really lucky. But in my experience, and, you know, I went back, actually, I had an interview with Fatherly, and I went back before my interview to look, and half of the entrepreneurs I interviewed also talked about how important their dads were in their life. But so often dads are kind of like, you have to get good grades, and you have to succeed, and you have to do this. And the moms are more, you know, whatever you want to do, honey, you're going to be great.
That's so funny, because yesterday I was, my daughter is in her freshman year of high school, and she was studying for her chemistry class. And I walked by her room, and she was kind of tearing up. I went in. Are you okay? She said, this is just so hard. It's just so hard. And, you know, there's nothing I could do except to say, yeah, sometimes it's going to be really hard. And you're going to have to muck on through it. And I thought I could draw my husband in. I could say, hey, could you go help her? But I know that he would kind of jump in and try to teach her what she needs to know, but she actually kind of needed to muddle through it on her own, and just sometimes like a, just you got this, do the best you can, I've got faith that you're going to work it out, you could work it out. And I just realized, wow, it's such a different approach. Now I realize that's my relationship and our family, but I don't know, maybe that's a little bit more universal than just where we are here in San Francisco in this particular home.
That's
a slightly different approach.
I don't know if you've read Carol Dweck on the growth mindset, but she's done a lot of work on this, and it turns out that if you praise children for their effort as opposed to their success, you end up with kids who work harder and who try harder things. So when kids are only praised if they come home with A's, you get kids who won't take on hard tasks. If you get kids who are praised because they worked hard at something, regardless of how well they did, you get kids who are willing to tackle the world.
Oh, yeah. Well, and also to take the big picture into consideration, and this is really key also for businesses, which is, hey, Lily, you're learning chemistry. That's pretty freaking awesome. You know, step back. It's not just about the lab report that you're doing or the quiz or the test. You're learning chemistry. That's amazing. And so you can really relate it, too, I think, with a lot of businesses, which is, it's hard. God knows it's going to be hard. You're going to work on some late nights, and you're going to be talking to some people that you don't particularly like, and you're going to have to sell, and you're going to have to do all kinds of things that are maybe uncomfortable, maybe really, really unpleasant. But what are you doing? You're doing something that you really like or you really believe in, and that's, like, if you do that kind of step back, I think that's exciting. I think that's just a really exciting approach. And is that something that you do find sort of universal among many mothers?
Yeah, and one of the moms that I interviewed said, you know, in a company, we don't say to someone, you're so good at accounting, we're going to stick you in human resources. But this is what we do to our kids. We say, you're so good at art. Stop spending so much time drawing and go work on your chemistry. And then we say, you're so good at your computer game. Stop spending so much time on the computer and go study your history. And it's kind of like, why do we do this to our kids? Like,
right.
You see in history, I mean, or chemistry is like, really, is that the end of the world? Like,
Right.
You know, I think we put so much pressure kids to do well in classes that they hate. And some of that is just, yeah, you're like you're saying, you have to buckle down. You have to work hard. You have to learn that not everything is easy and not everything is fun. But also some of it is just like, you know, we don't let them pursue the things that give them joy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, joy, very important. You know, as far as I know, other people can have a different perspective on this, but as far as I know, this is what we have. This is it from the day. So you better make it good, make it enjoyable, and try and be as good as you possibly can for the community and world around you. So, I want to back up, and I want to tell you about something that's kind of funny and get your opinion about this, is that I recently interviewed a fascinating guy. His name is Dave McClure, and he's a VC guy, big angel investor. He's started and funded over 1,500 companies. But when the audience started asking questions, and this was a young audience, I would say anywhere between 19 and 25, it was, I want to have a $1 billion company. And he kind of looked at them like, can we start with a $1 million company and maybe you can get there? But this idea that people are leading with their profits versus their, what's the product?
Yeah,
what are you
going to
sell?
Well, I mean,
what is it you're going to do?
Like in my experience,
what do you think about that?
It's horrifying, and I don't think any of them will be successful entrepreneurs because that's not how you become an entrepreneur. You don't become an entrepreneur because you're like, how can I come up with a $1 billion company? You become an entrepreneur because there's something that you love, and because you love it, you work at it really, really hard. And because you work at it really, really hard, you become really, really good at it. And because you become really good at it, you get self-confidence, and you get to understand the subject or the area or the product or whatever it is. And then because you really know it so well, you figure out what's missing, what could be done differently, what could be done better, what could be added on, and you
right.
get an idea. And that's where it comes from. It has to come organically from within you. It can't just be like, I'm going to be an entrepreneur, let me think of an idea.
No. There's something so, the word entitled gets thrown out so often these days, but there's something like, who do you think you are? You know, give me something I can use, my darling. Okay, we are speaking with the amazing Margot Maycall Biznow. She is author of Raising an Entrepreneur, 10 Rules for Nurturing Risk Takers, Problem Solvers, and Change Maker. So what do you think is the biggest takeaway that you would like people to learn from the book, gain from the book? What is it like? What's the nugget here?
If you're a parent raising a child, it would be to let your child explore what they love. Help them figure out what they love, what makes their heart sing, and encourage them to do that with all their heart and soul, and be proud of them for their effort in that, even if every other or some other areas aren't as successful. And if you're a kid who's listening or a young person, it's don't be afraid to take an idea and explore it and get into it and try it and figure out if there's something you can do that's different, whether it's a nonprofit or a profit for purpose or a for profit or being an artist or an activist. Figure out your niche. Figure out what you love to do. Figure out what your contribution is and what makes you unique and what you can add to the world. And then go do it and have fun and don't be afraid. And if it doesn't work out, figure out how to do it differently next time.
Well, yeah, and looking through the list of people who you did interview, of these mothers who you interviewed, they're across the board. These are, I mean, you've got pretty much everything covered here, from, you know, hot businesses and nonprofits and the arts. It's just everywhere. So it's interesting to me because each of these people, each of the people who did start these businesses, they had a parent, a mother, who led them through this journey to start these businesses, but they're all different. So, for example, let's just take Tom's Shoes. Amazing success. Amazing success. What is it that you got from that experience?
Yeah, so I've known Blake since 2008, Blake Mikowski, who started Tom's. He was one of the first 18 people to come to my son's very, very first meeting in 2008. So he has a very special place in my heart. He had just started Tom's at that point. He'd given away 10,000 pairs of shoes. They've given away like billions now. It was not his first company. I think it was his third company. He had another little company, and he'd sold it, and he was just going to take some time off. And he'd always wanted to go to Argentina, and he was down in Argentina, and he was sitting at a cafe, and a couple came by and said, hey, we're going to this village to deliver some shoes, you know, charitably. Do you want to come? And he said, sure, and he went, and he'd never seen kids so poor without shoes, and it broke his heart. And he came home and said, gee, you know, I wish I could figure out some way to get shoes to these kids. And then he thought, you know, maybe I'll start a nonprofit. And then he thought, I don't want to spend my life, you know, raising funds. And then he thought, what if I sell shoes and I charge enough that every time I sell a pair, I can give a pair away. And he told the guy he was with in Argentina, and the guy said, you're loco. And he said, you know, I think I'll try it. And he came home and told his family, and they're like, help, sure, we'll help you. And they, you know, they're packing up shoes on the dining room table, and his mom swung into action, and, you know, his whole family was helping him. And, I mean, it just took off.
You know,
I have to say, I love his sister, Paige Mikowski, also, I mean, who started this fabulous company, Aviator Nation. She had a job. She's in her 20s. She calls her mom. She got each of her grandparents gave her $100 for her birthday, and she said, you know what, I think I'm going to take that $200 and buy a used sewing machine. And she started sewing, and then she called her mom and said, I'm quitting my job. I'm moving home with my sewing machine. I'm just going to sew for a few months. I have an idea. Mm-hmm. And, like, her mom didn't laugh at her. Her mom said, great. I mean, how many moms when they're 20-something says, I'm going to quit my job and move home and live in the basement and sew clothes? I have an idea. Would be like, great. And her mom was great. And I think she just opened like her 7th store or something.
I mean, that's it's a really great example of how you can support your child in their endeavors without being overbearing. It didn't sound like she took over. She just said, all right, let's give this a whirl. But it didn't also sound like she was giving her false hope, right? I mean, because that's another factor, is that you don't want to pat your kids on the head and say, oh, you can do anything you want.
No, it's not.
Like,
of course,
that's
she can't
not
do anything,
true.
But, you know, go ahead and try. So someone I love, John Chu, who's a filmmaker, he's produced some movies most recently, Now You See Me 2, and I'm so excited because Lin-Manuel Miranda, who did Hamilton, just chose him to do the movie of Miranda's first Broadway show, In the Heights. So you'll hear his name a lot in the future. And he's fantastic. He grew up, his parents were Chinese immigrants. They have a Chinese restaurant in Palo Alto. And he said, you know, when you're a filmmaker, you have to make a lot of decisions. What kind of movie are you going to direct? Who are you going to cast? How are you going to do this? How are you going to do this? He said, and you never want to have to make these decisions out of fear. And he said, my parents always said to me, you know, don't worry about what decision you're making, because if it doesn't work out, we have a restaurant. You'll always have something to eat.
Very interesting.
I love that story.
Yeah, that's a really, really nice story. And it's something as a parent you should remember. Keep it in your head. Okay, so your own experience with this. Obviously, you were motivated for a specific reason to get this book off the ground. Why? What is your own background that made this so appealing?
So I spent most of my life in international development. It has nothing to do with, you know, what I'm doing now. And it's interesting that you ask that because, honestly, when I wrote this book, I was just sort of curious, like, how these kids were brought up and why they all became entrepreneurs. But honestly, now that it's done and I'm running around talking to people and everything, I'm kind of on a mission. The New York Times had an article, I think it was Friday, there are now more middle school kids dying by suicide than car accidents. That has to sink in for a minute. There's more middle school kids dying by suicide than car accidents. It's like what we're doing to our kids is so horrible, and I feel like all these parents are so well-meaning, and they want their kids to be successful, and so they're pushing them to do really well in all these different areas, and of course it's all exacerbated on social media, which magnifies everything, and you know, these kids believe there's but one path to a successful life, and that path is narrow. And none of the kids in this book were brought up like that. All of these kids were brought up with parents who said, you want to do what? Great.
Right.
You know, sometimes it took a big gulp. You're dropping out of med school. You want to design clothes. You're leaving college with a semester to go. You want to quit your job and come home and sew in the basement. You're not taking a six-figure investment banking job. You want to live in our basement and try to make movies. I mean, whatever it was, you know, sometimes it took a big gulp. And these parents said, that's great. Go for it. And I just think it's like a really important lesson for parents, like, let your kid be who they are. Let them follow their heart.
Okay, so you're actually asking some parents, because to do what may be so opposed to every fiber of your being that is telling you, like, I want them to make the right decision. I know them so well. I've known this child since day one, and I can make the best decisions. You know, and that's not bad. That's not a pejorative statement. That's true.
It's well-meaning and well-intentioned and wrong.
Yes.
In my
yes.
humble opinion. You know, my
exactly.
dad was a professor. I grew up in university towns. I didn't know anyone who hadn't gone to college. Everyone I knew had an advanced degree. It actually never crossed my mind that it was a possibility that I could have a child that didn't graduate from college. My son dropped out after, you know, 2.5 years.
Yep.
No, he's doing really well. So, and he's really happy. And you know, you gotta go with the flow. And I talk to these parents all the time, and I never know how much I can push. You know, and I say, tell me about your child, and they, oh, he's in college, but he doesn't really like it, and I don't think he's really going to class, and he doesn't really like the subject, and what is he majoring in? Political science. Does he like political science? No, not really. So what does he like? And then they say, well, he just likes playing computer games, or he just likes playing music, or he just likes tinkering with cars, or something that's not acceptable to them. And I say, well, instead of having him spend all this money, being miserable, not going to class, wasting money, getting into debt, not preparing himself really for anything that he wants to do, how about letting him drop out for a year and take an unpaid internship in automotive something or, you know, electronic arts or at a music producer or something? And they're like, no, he has to graduate from college. Like, why? Why? What are you doing? Why is it you want your kid to spend, you know, 4 years smoking dope, not going to class, graduating $200,000 in debt with no clue as to what they're going to do, instead of letting them pursue what gives them joy?
You said it so perfectly. That's exactly. And for that reason, I would love everybody who is a parent, especially if you're a mother, but mothers, fathers, guardians, please pick up this book, Raising an Entrepreneur, 10 Rules for Nurturing Risk Takers, Problem Solvers, and Change Makers, because it's something that you want. You know, you want them to have that zest, I guess. You could call it many, you could, use many different adjectives for it and define it in your own way, but you want them to be excited about getting up and taking on these challenges and becoming the success that they're interested in becoming. And that doesn't mean being the world's greatest pot smokers. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that, you know, you can support yourself. You can be independent. You can maybe do something that's good for the world or something that other people look at and go, wow, that's really cool. How'd you do that? That's exciting. That's using your brain, your education, your background, you know, your personality, all in the best way. And that is adventurous. That is exciting. And if you get into a little debt because you're going to have to borrow for it, at least you're doing it for the right reasons. Right, Margo?
Right. Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. So I know it's scary. Again, you know, everybody knows I've got a daughter, and so I get it. I get that sick feeling that you might have when you need to step back and run fleeing from the room going, I'm just going to let her make her own mistakes. Or, okay, she's got this. I don't have to control it. And I'm actually not a controlling person, but, you know, it even for people like me who are a little bit more type B, like, hey, just have a lot of fun, you still want to step in.
Right. No, it's the hardest thing for a parent is knowing when to step back and when to step in.
Yeah, it's listen, I guess. A lot of this does have to do with listening, right, and to kind of nodding and to maybe asking the right questions.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So now, where can people go for more information about you, the book, maybe learning from other parents who have raised these incredible, and when I say success, these people who are successes, these are major, I mean, by any measure, these people who the mothers of them you've interviewed, they're the best of the best, the top of the top, you know, where you can look at it and just say, wow, Under Armour, uh-huh. Zappos, come on. So tell me how people can find you and find more information.
Raising an Entrepreneur is on Amazon, and there's a little, some blurbs about it there. And I didn't have much social media presence before, but I've have a little Facebook page now, Raising an Entrepreneur, and Instagram, Raising an. I guess it's under my name, Margo Bisno. So, I'm trying to learn the whole social media thing. Someday maybe I'll be almost as good as you, Erica.
Oh yeah, you need a 16-year-old. That's what you need. Okay, now on that, I want to say thank you so much for joining me today, Margo. And for everybody, please reach out to me. I want to hear about how maybe your mother has stepped in and helped you become the success that you are, or even worse, if you felt like they could have done a better job. Or maybe what you're doing, because I think this is a fascinating subject. It's really, truly about raising a child who is going to enjoy their life and independent and be a good person. So it's the trifecta of wonderfulness. Hit me up. You know how to reach me. Have a wonderful day. And remember, have an adventure with money. You got this. Thank you, Margo.
Thank you so much.